Well, good evening, folks. Welcome to our Wednesday night service at Thomas Village Baptist Church. And I want to welcome all of us out in Facebook land. And hopefully you're hearing us, because I believe I found out what the problem was, where the volume was. So hopefully we got it fixed and you're able to hear us tonight. Because I know we got some words we need to hear. So let's all stand and sing a song, number 333, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. 333. It's good to see you tonight. If you have your Bibles, we'll be in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. But before we get into that, I do want us to have some prayer time and also praise time. Do we have anybody that has a word of praise or testimony this evening? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Everything we take to Him in prayer. Thank you, Brother Kent. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. And believe you me, the least prayer that I think we have answered every day that we don't acknowledge is when we leave our house and we return. You know that God has brought us back to our home, you know, and many people don't come back. Anybody else got a word of praise or testimony? Amen. Man, them clouds over Atlanta. Oh, my gosh, them things look eerie, unnatural. And if they, praise God, it looked like it got bad in Knoxville, pretty rough in Knoxville. Anyone else? I'm thankful I was able to spend some time with some Brother Brian and the family yesterday. And then also, I'm just grateful that school's starting back. You know, some normalcy, some routine will get back in the house. But league schools start back tomorrow with the students. And so pray for my wife and all those that will be there. And then I think Brykov and the rest will be next Monday. I think they go back Tuesday. We want to pray for all our workers. But if you're with us tonight watching by Facebook or listening by the radio, thank you for putting up with us for the past few services with everything that's going on. We're upgrading our computer system and the speed and stuff like that. And so we were about to put under construction or under renewal sign on Facebook, but we're thankful that you're with us and you allow us to be a part of it. But we do want you to come and let us worship together. There's something about being together, and that's what we're commanded to do, to come together, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And I think you'll be blessed. And if not, you know, at least you've tried and gave us a shot. But if you have any prayer needs, just send us a text or a message on Messenger, and we'll do our best to pray for you as well. Any other words of praise or testimony before we go into our prayer request time? All righty. Any prayer needs? Amen. Thank you, sister. Anyone else? And speaking of that, we have a lot of our church family that's doing some last-minute traveling this weekend. I know Brother Brock and them, they'll be traveling up to Ohio. Anyone else? Hmm. We do want to also pray a praise report. Brother Keith is teaching a Sunday school class over in the nursing home, and we just pray that God continue to bless there and open up more opportunities in our community as we're looking to be in the jail before long as well. Kingston Center. Is that the Kingston Center? Okay, so there's an opening at the... We can look into it anyway, at the nursing home. The Sue Gillum?
Lucille.
Lucille. Her name?
Linda.
We pray for that family and for you, sister. And what was Brother Otis and Sister Lim's, Paul Stoyer?
Stapleton.
I ask you to keep praying for me as I try to figure this thing out as well, and just be obedient to people that know better than me. And then we want to continue to pray for Brother Wayne and all that he's dealing with. Anyone else? Man. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. Anyone else? I do ask you to pray as we're moving into our new church year that we'll be of one mind, one purpose, and one vision. That we'll be united in our unity this year, and kindly looking for a theme verse for our new year. And pray as we're getting ready to be starting the new Experiencing God class There's a sign-up sheet out there. There's already been great interest in it. But we're hoping that in about another week or so that those that are signed up will come together and meet to decide on the night and the time and things like that. But also be praying about this. I believe we're living in a post-Christian society, meaning that whereas when I was a child, basically everything revolved around church. I mean, and even in the community, you know, it revolved around church. And Sundays and Wednesdays, or whatever midweek day, those were special days, you know. But our culture now is not built around that, you know, and people's work schedules aren't built around that. And so the deacons and I have been talking about adding a service in the week, not taking away anything, not trying, but just offering another opportunity to where those that may not can come on our regular times, that we'll provide a place for them. Maybe it might need to be in the daytime, it might need to be in the evening time, but just trying to meet the needs of the world and the community around us in a time that is far different from what we're used to, or what I'm used to. And so be praying for that. And this may be kind of a little tester, you know, to see what works better, what night might be or day might be better. Also, the women's conference is coming up on, that's on a Thursday night, and we'll be looking forward to that, so be praying over that as well. And is there any other announcements I may be missing? It's WOM this weekend, isn't it? Saturday, okie dokie. Anything else? Any other needs? Don't forget to pray for the lost. Lift up those that, and here's what I pray, that we know that no man comes unless they're called. And we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And so my prayer is that whatever it is that would try to take away from a lost person hearing the call and seeing the truth in Scripture, that it just be removed, and that God have his free way and will in their life, and that they respond to salvation. But I want to read off half of the names of that we have on this list. Just the first name: Joshua, Sharon, Richie, Michael, Gerald, Donald, Bethany, Frank Sr., Keith, Robert, Sandra, Tom, Donald, Lisa and daughter, Danny, Brenda, Glenn, Sarah, Austin, Aliyah, John, Neil, Will, Polly, Mickey, Cooper, Haley, Melissa, Nathan, Gary, Damaris, Mila, Daniel, Nathaniel, Steve, Fred, Robert, Ronnie, and Jean, Victoria, Chastity, Tina, Rocky, Sam and Samuel, Tim, Kristen, Rod, Dwight, Galen, Farrell, Glenda, Teresa, Devin, Phil, Jean, Zachary, Jimmy, Caden, Fran, Farah, Martin, Rayleigh, Angeli, Junior, Earl, Jason, Robert, Jason, Lisa, Mickey, Dina, John, Justin, Cheyenne, Jane, BV, Larry, Thelma, Rita, Claudia, Mary Lou, Florence, Mike, Letitia, Denise, Dennis, James, Drayden, Barbara, Barry, Bud, Lee, LaDonna, Raekwon, Scott, Jalen, Michael, Isaac, Kayla, Rhonda, Mike, Michael, James, Joey, Grace, Pauline, David, Chad, Misty, Ron, Greg, Lila, Brooke, Madeline, Bonnie, Jeremy, Lita, Eric, Dustin, Matt, Bobby, Michael, and Thea. And that's half of the 252 that we have on this list. Is there, and some of these have made profession, but there's no fruit. And so we're praying for them as well. We've had over seven on this list since we've started it that have come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. and will not know until eternity, actually. But is there any other name? Or Kay Miller? Thank you, sister. She's still sick. Look good. Look real good. I did. Amen. I'm so glad God took the prohibition off swine. Swine is good. Any other name that we can add to our salvation list? And we claim Romans chapter 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for them, is for their salvation. And that was Paul talking about the Israelite people. And then 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slow concerning his promises, as some would count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we just pray his promises back, you know, and claim them. So any other prayer need or name?
Steve Clark.
God bless you, sister. Amen. Backyard Bible study. Anyone else? Be praying for recovery, too. You know, they had got up to about 10 men there, and about half is left now. And a lot of them were 3 to 4 months into the six-month program. So it's just kind of heartbreaking there. And then, too, continue to pray for Brother Jack, physically. One of them had been there. He came from, well, he worships like Thor and Odin and the gods of the Nordic type. And, man, he was really under conviction. And I flat out think he ran from it, you know. But the altar is open tonight if you feel led to come. And it's always open. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I do come to you and I thank you for the privilege of prayer. And I thank you, God, that you've allowed us to come together once again on what many would call a midweek prayer meeting. And God, we just don't want to neglect the responsibility and the privilege of coming together in the name of Jesus before the throne of our Creator. And God, tonight I pray that you forgive me of my sins. And Lord, you know the different needs that we have tonight. As I think about my own health issues and stubbornness as it deals with that, and then my spiritual side, how my flesh is rebellious. And God, I just ask you to forgive me of my sins and my shortcomings. And God, tonight we do pray for those needs as we think of Johnny Roach, Lord, and the where he finds himself and the family find themselves tonight. God, we ask you just to give him total healing and recall of his physical abilities. And God, we pray also, Heavenly Father, for peace for the family. As we think about the Gillum family and others that are dealing with loss of a loved one and living in a new reality. God, I just pray tonight that you give them peace and comfort, but also I pray you give them strength through the person of the Holy Spirit. God, we pray for Sister Donna as she's under the weather, and God, we pray you give her complete healing. Paul Stapleton, as he's dealing with the diabetes and all that goes along with it. But Lord God, we thank you also that, God, that this is not our eternal destination, and that we have a home in glory, and that for eternity we'll be with our Creator with a new body. Heavenly Father, Lord, will you say that there'll be no more tears? And Heavenly Father, Lord, we're looking forward to spending an eternity with you. But also, Lord, we don't want anybody to go to hell. Heavenly Father, Lord, even as we think of some of the enemies that we would consider, such as Putin or other men such as that, we pray, God, that they come to the knowledge of your saving grace. And so, Lord, right now, the names that we've called off, the names that are on this list, I pray that in Jesus' name, Lord, that any demonic influence or anything against the gospel coming into their life, that you would hold it back. And, Father, would you call them to be your child, Heavenly Father, Lord, and that in that call they will respond to the mercy and the grace and repent of their sins. And Lord, I praise you tonight that even as we speak, somebody somewhere is having their eternal life changed. And I give you praise for that. But God, I also ask you to bring revival to me personally. Lord, let me see the errors of my ways and my shortcomings, and let me be renewed and refreshed as I serve you on a day-to-day basis. And God, I pray the same for this church. I pray for every member and every one that darkens the door. God, that we are your children, we're called for your purpose, and we're filled with your presence and power. And it's in that name we give you glory and praise. Amen. All right. Tonight, again, we're going to be over in the book of Galatians chapter 5, and we'll be looking at verses 13 and 14. If I had a title or an idea for the message tonight, it would be improper use of our spiritual liberty. Improper use of our spiritual liberty. Are you in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13? All righty. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word or one saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It goes on to say, but if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. And may God add the blessings to the scripture. As Americans, we have, at least in theory, we are a free people. And we don't know what it's like not to be a free people. I mean, for my whole life, we've had the freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, the right to bear arms, and so on. The Constitution or the Declaration of Independence, it tells us that we have been endowed, that God, there are certain God-given rights that every man, woman, boy, and girl have been given by our Creator. Matter of fact, this is what it says. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they have been endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But as we think about the idea of rights or freedom, liberties, how would you define the word right? That we have certain rights. How would you put it to a dummy like me? If they read that says that there are certain inalienable rights, and I said, well, what is inalienable? Because that one right there throws me off. But you tell me I have rights, and the Constitution declares that I have rights that have been given to me by God, but what does that mean? That's it. We have certain privileges. We have certain, we are entitled to certain things, that we are entitled to free speech. We're entitled to choose our religion. We're entitled to have a pistol or a gun or whatever is equivalent to the standard of the world we live in now. I mean, I'm not going to go there. I could, but I'm going to shut up because I'll keep going. But we have certain things that we are entitled to. But here's the thing. Just because I have or I'm entitled or have the privilege of, that doesn't mean that it's that I always have to engage in it. That it's the proper thing for me to engage in it. I mean, think about this. I have the right to bear arms, right? But would it be proper for me to put my holster on like Wyatt Earp and have my six shooter in my pocket as I come up here into the pulpit? Not yet, anyway, right? I mean, we're not at that point yet. But that is, I have the right, but is that what's needed in the moment? You understand what I'm saying? There are certain rights, there are certain entitlements that we have that we can demand on. But think about this. A lot of the protesting that's going on in our country, especially a few years ago as we saw it led to looting and riots and stuff like that, people had the right to do that. Well, the assembly. But was it needed? Is our country better off from it? You see what I'm saying? That just because we have the right doesn't mean that we always need to demand on engaging in it. And then there's the opposite. We have certain rights, but we don't use them. We don't engage in them. So we might as well not even have that privilege, right? I mean, think about it. We have the right to a transparent and accountable government. Amen? We do. But yet, and praise God, I think we're seeing some steps into it. But if we're not going to demand that right, then what's the use in us having that right? So we have, as Americans, privileges and entitlements that we need to be engaging in that we're not. And we have other rights and entitlements and privileges that we need to discern when is the proper time to engage in it. Now, so let's cross the bridge now into the spiritual side. Romans chapter 6 verse 6 says this. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we are no longer enslaved to sin. Christ teaches us this, and all Scripture does, that we, in our human state, in our fallen state, we are bound to the life of sin. That even though we may not want to be sinners or whatever, that we cannot help it. It's who we are. We are slaves to sin. And it's never more clear than the idea of addiction. You know, the person that wants to not drink or doesn't want to use a drug, but yet the body calls them back. That's basically who we are as sinners in the spiritual realm. No matter what we do, no matter how hard we strive to be good or moral, we still have a fallen nature and we are sinners. But listen, John chapter 6 verse 8. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? That means that we have been set free from the bondage of sin. We're no longer child of the devil. Because either you're a child of God or you're a child of the enemy. And you don't have to choose to be a child of the enemy. We are born into that as sinners. But when we come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are loosened from those bonds and from those bounds. And the Bible teaches us that we have been made free because of Him. We don't have to worry about the penalty of sin. Why? Because the penalty's already been paid. We have been set free from the bondage of sin, from the sentence of sinfulness, and from the punishment of sin. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us this over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. It says that all things are lawful for me. For a believer, that means that I am no longer bound by the law. You get it? Now, that doesn't mean that I don't try to live by the law, because like we studied a few weeks ago, the law is good. It tells us who God is and who we should be as we serve Him. But just because all things are lawful, that I've already, the penalty, the whole of my sin, from the day I was born to the day that I die, all of that is under the blood of Jesus Christ. All He's done paid the penalty. He's carried it into His grave. And He came resurrected up in freedom. And now I have that freedom in Him. But just because all things are lawful, listen what it goes on to say there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things prove to be beneficial. You know, I mean, think about this. We're told if you've ever been arrested or whatever, this is what I said, you have the right to remain silent, right? But most people do not engage in that right. You know, they just keep going and going and going. It would be better off for them to live in that right to be silent than to run off at the mouth. Because even though it's lawful for them to speak, it is not beneficial for them to speak in that moment. And so tonight I want to look at five things that, yes, we have the freedom there as we have been set free in Christ Jesus. But are we using that freedom properly? Are we using it properly? The first thing is this. We have the right or the freedom to share the gospel of Christ to every person. To every boy, girl, Tom, Dick, Harry that we come across, we have the right and the command to share the gospel. Listen, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Do y'all see a tissue box anywhere? Here's one. Now, what? There's a name that that passage has been given, or the command that's in that. What's it called? The Great what? The Great Commission. And you know what? We have the right, praise God, still in America, that we can tell our co-workers, as long as we're not doing it on company time, as we're not trying to do it on their time, we can tell our co-workers, we can tell our relatives, we can tell our children, we can still go door to door and knock on their door and tell them that Jesus loved them and died on the cross for them. Do you realize that in other countries you cannot do that? It's called proselytizing, and they will lock you up for doing that. Matter of fact, Israel tried to pass a law that even foreigners that come in there, if they tried to tell about the gospel, that they could be locked up. Folks, we are blessed that we have that. We have that freedom. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think we'll have it much longer. But I looked it up this past couple weeks. Less than 75% of professing believers in America engage in what we would call evangelism. The Great Commission has become the Great Omission. Now see, as Americans, we love our rights, right? We'll bang the gavel and the podium and demand that our rights be met. And we have this right, but what are we engaging in that right? This is one of the greatest privileges that we'll ever have. And it's like we have the cure for cancer, but why don't we do it? I think, like with me, I don't want to be labeled as a Jesus freak, you know what I mean, old holy roller, but the older I get, the less I care. We're scared that we're going to offend. We want to be the nice guy. The nice girl. But remember what we said about our rights? If we're not engaging in our rights, then what good is it for us to have them? And sooner or later, now you look, and I think since around 9/11, we've given up a lot of rights so that we could, quote unquote, feel secure. And I think we're now coming awake to that. But if we don't engage in this right, the right to share the amazing gospel of Jesus Christ, then are we truly using the liberty that He has given us, the freedom that He has given us? All right, the second thing is this. We have the right to live with less worry, less anxiety, and less frivolous concern. You know that? Listen, Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 28. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into a fire, will He not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith! Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. Those are what the lost world are worrying about. If the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you have need of them, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I've been thinking for the past few days, and you know, last Wednesday night we had a wonderful prayer time, had a wonderful service, and I told you some of the things that I fear and that I concern. If you weren't here, I just kind of laid out my heart about where fears and concerns that I have, and how you know it gets tiresome in this world. And I got home and I felt the Spirit say this to me: what are you actually fighting against? What are we fighting against? We engage in all this fight. We struggle for this on this hand, and we struggle for that on that hand, and do all that, when the Lord says, just trust me. Now, see, my fight is being able just to lay it down to Him. That's, if I could do more of that, then I wouldn't have that stress and the anxiety and things like that. But are we seeking to live in that freedom? You know, and that's where your pastor's at right now. As I'm praying, Lord, teach me how to trust you. Teach me, and I've trusted him for my salvation, like many of you. I know you have. But what about that day-to-day walk? You know, I'm at a point right now that one of the most difficult things about living here is that I'm away from my mom and dad. And who's going to take care of mom and daddy? What if this happens? What if that happens? But you know what? The Lord loves them more than I love them. And He's going to take care of them. He's going to do what's needed. And so, right, we have the freedom to give it over to the Lord. We have the freedom to have that peace that passes all understanding, right? But are we actively engaging to live in that freedom? You see what I'm saying? That we have certain liberties. We have certain things, but are we doing our best to live in them? Another one. We have the freedom, or we have the right, to use our tongues to encourage and uplift. We have the freedom and the right to use our tongues. James chapter 3, verse 9 and following says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursings. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. You know, and we have that right. But we also have the right to use it as a, what does James call it, a fire. And that sets on a world of iniquities. Listen to what it says. The First Amendment. Amen. Listen. Congress shall pass no laws respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or the press, or the right of people peaceably to assemble, and a petition to the government for a redress of grievance. I mean, there's a lot that's covered in there, but the right to free speech. You know, and praise God, as an American, people may not like what I have to say. People may not want to hear what I have to say. But praise God, I have the right to say it. I just need to get it off my chest. Do you know what I mean? But have you ever thought about, even though, again, I have the right, but is it going to be beneficial? Is it going to help the situation, or is it going to make the situation worse? I mean, if the only reason I want to say something is because I want to get it off my chest, should I say it then? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, do nothing in selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. And that's another area. That yes, I can demand on my right, and I can. You don't have to stay here to hear it, but I have the right to say it. But do I need to say it? Is it the right thing to say? And you know what? I think that as we grow older and we mature in the Lord, these are the type of areas that we learn to be submissive And these are the type things, you know, the as we're talking about revival, these are the type areas that maybe we need to be looking at and saying, Lord, teach me how to live in that liberty, but also teach me how to live with restraint, and let me properly use the freedom that I find in you. Any thoughts tonight on the freedom that we have to share the gospel? How about the freedom that we have to, what was the number two? Anxiety and worry. How to live out of that. And you know what the Bible says, though? It says this, because I don't know how to do that, right? But the Bible says, if I lack knowledge, that I can ask of Him, and He'll give it to me liberally. He won't hold it back. Tell you something else, this. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says this, that my people are dying because of a lack of knowledge. Dying for a lack of knowledge. Praise God, He's got all the knowledge if we just ask for it. All right, number four. Number four, y'all listening fast tonight. Number four, we have the right, or we have the liberty, to grow in our knowledge and our faith as a follower of Jesus Christ. Ain't that awesome? That we can grow. We don't have to stay on this level. We can go to the next level. Listen, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. Now, think about this. Again, we're thinking about the right that we have, the freedom that we have to grow as believers, and what we know about God and how much we trust God. The Scriptures describes a new believer as a what? A newborn babe, exactly. Full of life, a joy to be around, but buddy, they're awkward, they don't know nothing, they can't say nothing, they can't do nothing. But man, there's just something about them that we like to be around babies for a little bit, and then we like to be around new believers. There's just something there. But if a baby never learns how to speak, a baby never learns how to crawl and move on to the walking stage, and then they're walking holding Papa's hand or Mama's hand, and then what happens later on? They let go of that hand, and then they walk on their own two feet. There is a process, but if that process in some way stops or is limited in the natural realm, there's a problem, right? There's a growth, there's an issue, because you're not supposed to stay as a baby. You're not supposed to stay on that level. And the same is true with a Christian. Yes, there's a period of immaturity, of misunderstanding, of inactivity, but that is only to be for a season. But yet the Bible tells us this in Hebrews, can happen. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you again the basics of the teachings of God. You need milk and not solid food. You see that there's supposed to be a growth, a move. And I want you to think about this. I was raised in the church, heard the Bible every day, but I didn't accept Jesus Christ, or at least Jesus did not accept me as His child and forgive me of my sins in that relationship until I was 20 years old. Now, my daddy had raised me in the Bible, and there were good principles and precepts. But I was still a babe. And you know what? If I still saw Scripture as I did then, now, there'd be a problem there. Amen? Even though I had been instilled, I was still a lost person before that. And the same is true for anyone. God is going to grow us. He's going to mature us. And we're not going to see things like we maybe saw it before we got saved or when we were young babes. But another thing is this too, that we're to grow in our service to Him, in what we do and how we live. There's basically, we have the right to mature. We have the right. Matter of fact, He's called us to mature, right? But here's the thing. He doesn't screw our heads off and pour it in. It comes by diligence, study, walking in the Scriptures. And the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 1 that it grows from faith unto faith. It's like principles of math. You learn one principle, you get it there, and then God builds upon that principle. And He builds upon that one. And you go up and up and up. And that's natural growth. But then there's also, in believers, I believe what's called stunted growth. Stunted growth. We get to a point and we're satisfied with where we're at. We really don't study anymore. We're not open to anybody else's thoughts. I mean, it's this way and only that way. And now when it comes to salvation, that's the way we ought to be. But I'm going to tell you what, it's prideful for me to think that I'm the only one that's got it right. And that God can't show me anything new or teach me anything new. But then there's also that, and we see that over, I believe, in the parable of the soils. Remember, the third one, it took root, and it actually produced fruit, but it wasn't good fruit. But then there's also selfish growth. And this is the growth as we see in the Pharisee. It just so happened that everything that he thought was right lined up with the Word of God. He could see it there. And everything that he did was of value and of worth. And it allowed him to be able to look at others and say how wrong they are, how bad they are, how he's thankful I'm not like them. You see, we have the right to grow. We have the privilege to grow. But are we living in our rights? If it was any other right, we'd be demanding on it, right? But to grow with rights comes what? Responsibilities. Responsibilities. And then the fifth one is this. We have the right to be in unity and peace and oneness with other believers. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, only let your life be a practice that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. So whether I'm present with you or I'm absent, I will hear that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. We have the right to be in oneness and unity and make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ, to see His kingdom grow. But here's the thing, and it blows my mind, but you know, there are people who love starting fires and stirring division within the people of God. They love it. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 and following. There are six things that the Lord hates. Seven are an abomination in His sight. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hand that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. They enjoy it. Usually, you know, the idea there is control. It's about control, and they want to just keep it unstable. But then there's others, I believe, that don't do it intentionally. They wouldn't do it intentionally, but, you know, that what they're involved in, the ministry they're a part of, or where they're giving their money, surely everyone sees that that's more important than the other ministries. It's of more value to our church, it's more value to our community, and thus it's more value to the kingdom. And so, why wouldn't you think that we should invest more in X than Y? But you know what? Praise God, we're the body. And you know, every ministry in this church is just as important as the other. If it's a God-called ministry, we need to be as much. And we may not be working in that ministry, but we should support and encourage those that are in that ministry. And these, we have these rights. But again, the Spirit provides discernment. And there's times that we need to demand our rights. And we stand upon our rights. But then there's other times that we may need to hold off. Then there's other things, such as you have the right to remain silent, that we're not actively engaging in, that we could be and should be. And that will be a part of our growth. But then, to close out, There are certain rights that we have given up as we've surrendered to become a believer. Things that, yes, we may have the human right to do or whatever, but since we came to be a child of God, we've agreed that we no longer have these rights. We can't demand on these rights. And these are two things. No longer do I have the right to not love my brother, to not love my neighbor, or to not love my enemy. That's what Jesus said. And if you come to Him truly, then you have said, I'm giving this up. I'm laying this down. What does He say? 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. We got to love our brothers, our family. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. For whoever, that's strong words, ain't it? Whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. Now again, thus saith the Lord. This ain't me saying that. That's what He says. That we're to love. We're to consider our brothers above ourselves or our church family above ourselves. Next thing, we're to love our neighbors. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. God, I've laid as your servant, as your child, I have given up my right to hate my brother. I've given up my right to hate my neighbor. I've given up my right to hate this race or this nationality. And then, really, we are commanded to love our enemies. Commanded to love our enemies. And like I said, I mean, I don't want Vladimir Putin to be my buddy, and I don't want him to come to my house and eat food with me. I just don't want it, but I don't want him to die and go to hell either. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 and following. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you. Ouch, right? I mean, daggone, did I really lay that down? Did I really give that right up? Yeah. Because that's what Jesus done, isn't it? The Bible teaches that we are His enemy in our sinful state. That yet He put it aside and came and died on the cross for our sins so that whosoever. And then the last, another right that we've given up is we've given up the right not to forgive, to hold grudges. We've given it up. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and following. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And again, like I said, I'm not saying it's easy. But I'm saying that I want to see revival. And that means I need to live in the liberties He's given. And I need to recognize that as His child, even though I'm free, I have voluntarily laid down some of my rights. And two of those things are, He commanded me to love the world around me. Now, does that mean that I'm to be nice to them and to agree with everything they do and all that? No. Matter of fact, I don't think He said anywhere that I have to like them, but that I'm to love them. To desire best for them, what's best for them. And then to forgive. To forgive. And you know what? It's hard to forgive. Matter of fact, I don't think there's certain situations that come up in our life that we have the ability to forgive unless God gives it to us. And so that's why I think with forgiveness, it has to begin with a willingness to. God, see that? I may not want to forgive them, but Lord, I want to be right with You. Right? I want to be in Your will. I want to be walking close to You. And You said that it's my duty to forgive. So Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I ask You to just give me the desire to forgive. You see, we've got to recognize that even our fleshly desires, amen? I mean, we ask the Lord that you've got to overcome my emotions. You have to overcome my humanness. And that begins by you giving me a desire to forgive, which will begin with the desire to be in His will. Amen? And I know you're like, my gosh, man, you get kind of mean tonight, man. You did hardcore. But, you know, I don't think we've got much longer to be here. It could be any day that I think Christ could come and get us and call us home. And I think they're going to say the aliens done it. I'm saying, you know, they're having meetings on it in Congress and all this stuff. I mean, I think they're prepping that when we all gone, they're going to say, oh, the experiment, they come and took half of them and they're dissecting them right now. But what I want to be when He comes back is found living the life that He died for me to live. And I want, you know, like that one we read last week about the persistent widow. You remember the last thing he asked? But when the Son of Man returns, will He find faith on the earth? I want to be one where faith is found. And I believe He could give me the ability to love. I believe He can give me the ability to shut my mouth when all I want to do is run my mouth and demand my right. I believe He can give me the desire to forgive those that have hurt me the most. And in doing that, just think about it. The glow of Christ is shining because it don't make sense to the world. But when we choose to live in our liberties and to surrender some, there'll be awesome things that Christ is doing. And it's coming. It's coming. The things you've prayed for your families, praise God, don't give up for it, man. Don't doubt in the dark what God has shown you in the light. Amen. Keep praying for it. One of the things I said last week about, I've asked God, if I have to lose my ability or my mental state, Lord, take away my physical. That's what I've prayed for. And you know, there's fears, but God can give us that peace. He's given us that liberty. So any thoughts before we close out tonight? I think tonight's the last night over for the Bible study, isn't it? Do check the list out there, the Experiencing God, and invite others to come and be with us. Is there anything on your heart or mind tonight before we close out? Pray for Amy Gunner tomorrow morning as they got students on campus, okay? All right, Brother Keith, would you close us out in a word of prayer?